Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And the payoff. There goes the deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 61. He ties Roger Maris for the American League single-season record with 61 home runs. It's a two-run Judgian blast. Here comes the judge. A two-run blast, and the Yankees take a 5-3 lead on number 61 for Judge.
John Sterling with the call on Yankees Radio. Aaron Judge finally does it. It took seven games, but he hits number 61 last night in Toronto as the Yankees win again.
Poetic justice. Let's go back to 2015, 2016, those idiot fans up there throwing beer on the Rangers, players' families and wives and kids. And it was just out of the reach of one of the Toronto Blue Jay fans. Frankie Lasagna, his real name. He's an Italian restaurant over.
No.
Yes, he is.
Oh, you're not supposed to stereotype, RJ.
What, you think he was going to own a barbecue spot? The name like Frankie Lasagna? He's an Italian restaurant owner, just out of his reach.
He definitely had to change. He definitely changed his name.
He had too much marinara in his blood. Too much. And it was just out of his reach, and he missed it. And it goes into the hands of the bullpen coach, who's making $507,000 a year. So he gave the ball back. He gave the ball back to Aaron Judge. And finally, it's over. He gets to, have or at least tie the record. And now he will go to break the record over the next three games at home before here, when he comes here to play the Rangers, the final couple of games of the season, where he would set the new record if he were to hit another one.
And the bullpen coach was somebody.
The bullpen coach is a former major leaguer, Matt Bushman, who's married to Sarah Walsh of former ESPN fame. And she tweeted, I can now retire. And then when she found out that he gave the ball back, she said, I can now get divorced.
There's no way that
he could have kept it.
No way.
I don't think so. If you're a player or a coach, you're basically an employee of the league. I don't think there's any way you could have kept that thing.
You'd have to quit.
You'd have to quit. Yeah, you probably would. You'd probably be blackballed. Are you going to sell the ball for a couple, for whatever?
It'd be the best if someone in the Yankees bullpen caught it and didn't give it back.
Didn't give it back to him. Hey, that's what I'm doing in the ball.
Right? Can you imagine? I wonder if there's any way that Bassick, while he was playing, is there any circumstance where he would have kept it and quit the sport?
We'll see first baseman final out of the World Series, put the baseball in their back pocket. They catch it, and instead of giving it back to somebody, they put the baseball in their back pocket. But you don't see that often. I've not seen it with a home run ball.
All right, I got to double check this, but D. Wade, one of our top Tolos, sent me this tweet. Aaron Judge has struck out 167 times so far this season.
That sounds about right.
This was as a couple of days ago. I have no doubt that that's accurate. 167 this year. Tony Gwynn struck out 167 times in the 90s. Can that be right? I know Tony Gwynn didn't strike out, but
here we go.
Judge's strikeout total equals Gwynn's for the decade?
Yep, here we go. 1990, 23. 91, 19. 92, 16. 93, 19. 94, 19. 95, 15. 96, 17. 97, man, he must have gone blind. 28. 98, 18. 99, 14.
That's incredible.
It's remarkable. He had 434 strikeouts in his entire career. He played from 1982 to 2001. His high was 40 in 1988. That's insanity. That is insanity. And, you know, this is the way the game has changed. The game has changed so much. You know, you're looking at different numbers now. They don't really value contact. They value hard contact. You know, they value getting on base. You know, like Aaron Judge, they really look at like OPS plus. So his OPS plus number is like 211. The league average is 100. So it means he's 111% better than the league average player this year.
My calculator says 188, not 167, but still.
Still.
You get the point.
You get the point. And the point is that Tony Gwynn was an absolute menace at the plate.
How have you felt about the coverage of this?
Thank God he did it in the middle of the week. It didn't mess with our beloved football.
I know. Look, I think that the baseball's one of the biggest problems with this is that baseball season ends when nobody cares about anything but the NFL anymore. If this happened in June, this would be the biggest story going. But it happens in September or October, and it's going to get swallowed up. It's going to get a little bit swallowed up. It's about what I expected. Fox will cut in or MLB Network. They've showed every game. You know, Fox had the game a couple of weeks ago or a week ago, and then, you know, MLB Network's had the game. Then TBS had the game two nights ago, and, they'll show the games on, other streaming devices, like Apple TV had the game one night. So they're showing them, and they're cutting in. You know, they're cutting in, but I don't know. I mean, it's captured the attention a little bit, but our minds are – it's football season, man. Our minds are elsewhere right now.
Including the Cowboys, who are 3-point favorites against the Commanders on Sunday in Arlington. Looks like we're getting the big boy broadcast with Kevin Burkhardt and Greg Olsen, the new Fox number one on the call. And have you seen ratings, by the way, recently? Did we get ratings for the Giants game? We should see what those were.
I did not get ratings for the Giants.
See if we can get some of those. But Michael Gallup said, we'll see. We'll see. Reporters asked him, what is the last hurdle for you to overcome to finally make your debut?
This is the hardest thing. It's really just mental now. You know you're healthy. Everything's good. It's just mental now. You got to make sure you feel, you know, like your old self. So getting to that, that's the hardest part. We know what we're doing out there on the football field. It's just, you know, making sure your body's, you know, fully healthy, correct, ready to go.
It's just mental now. So physically he's saying he's good. Now it's just mental to go out there.
Is it the mental hurdle of getting over the injury? Or getting over, you know, if you ask a guy, let's say you ask somebody who ripped up an ACL or an Achilles, like what was the last thing? It's like, you know, being able to, my mind to tell my body I can plant and cut. You know, getting over that mental hurdle. I bet you it's big. I bet you it's really, really big.
Joe Theismann at 8 o'clock this morning. He's got a football life coming out. We'll have to ask him about LT versus Micah. And Babe Laufenberg at 8:40. Meanwhile, Bobby Belt, he'll be joining us in 10 minutes. He got us some Commanders audio. Carson Wentz on preparing for Micah and this defense.
Yeah, I mean, great player. That's a great defense, great front. They fly around, they play fast. So we know what we're up against. I have nothing but confidence in our guys to protect and the things that we'll do to, counteract that and different things. But, again, I'm very excited for the matchup. I know our guys are excited for it. And they're a great defense, great front. And I'm confident we have a great front as well. And we're going to be ready for the challenge.
What is it like for Wentz playing the Cowboys again after all those years in the NFC East with Filthy?
It's always fun. It's always fun. It's always a fun atmosphere. It's always fun competing against those guys. I always remember they've had, you know, a very good defense and, a very good front. And it seems to be the same case this year. So I'm excited for the matchup, excited to go down there, obviously see some familiar faces that I've competed against for a while. So, yeah, it's always a fun, exciting one, and it always seems like there's a little extra energy when you're playing in those games.
I just wish one time somebody would say, I hate it. I hate playing them. I hate the team. I hate the fan base. I hate the stadium.
I know.
I hate everything about it. What do you want me to say? I wish somebody would say that one time.
They're supposedly unveiling their new black uniforms. They're back to being the old Commanders after beating Jacksonville. They've lost back-to-back games. They got smoked by the Eagles, and statistically, they are 9th in passing yards, 12th in points scored. How is 21 points a game? Well, more on that later. With where have the points gone?
Where have all the football points gone?
You scored 21 a game, and you're 12th best in the league. Points against, their defense is getting lit up. 27 points against. That's 28th worst in the league. And rushing yards-wise, they're 24th. So 86.7 yards a game for the Commanders. Tonight, Thursday Night Football, the Cheetah, Tyreek Hill, going to try to be getting some revenge on Eli Apple from the AFC Championship game last year. But the Bengals are favored by 3.5. They're favored by 3.5 because Miami is really banged up. Tua, limited in their walkthrough. Same thing for Xavier Howard, Teron Armstead. The Dolphins are the swimming wounded right now.
Swimming wounded. After the sharks Bills are win. Circling from the blood, the chum, and the water. I'm excited, though. I hope Tua is healthy for this, like fully healthy. I'm excited to see Miami in full force. We haven't gotten any of the games locally, the Dolphins games, fully on. I think we got like part of the Bills game at the end, right? But I'm excited to see this entire Dolphins team.
Were they not the main game on CBS? I don't know.
I thought it was Chiefs-Colts.
Okay.
I think it was Chiefs-Colts. I mean, they both somehow, I feel like I watched a lot of both of them. I don't know how I did it. I think that they switched over or something. But look, I'm excited to see Miami play, though. You know, I'm really excited to see them against a quality opponent again, even though they've played two back-to-back quality opponents. I want to see this team's for real because they've gotten outplayed their last two games. They still won them both.
Give us a little college football update. What's going on with some rumors out there?
The Pac-12 is in trouble. Well, we knew that already. But what does this mean? Why? There's another round of expansion imminent, according to CBS Dennis Dodd. It looks as if the Big Ten is poised to add Oregon, Washington, Stanford, and Cal. That's what they want to do. They don't know when this is going to happen, but the wagons are starting to circle on this one. We kind of knew that. So what happens here? The Big 12 then wants to take over the Four Corners programs, is what they're calling them. Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Utah. Industry chatter says that Oregon State and Washington State would then go to the Mountain West. What a drop-off that would be. And that the Pac-12 would dissolve. Wow. Like, we knew this was going to happen, but we are seeing this happen at a pace that is way faster than I expected. When they said that they were going to, the Big Ten was going to look to expand again, most people thought another couple of years, not another couple of weeks. And that's where it sits right now.
Headlines on a Thursday, trying to get you to your weekend as quickly as possible. We got Joe Theismann coming up at 8 o'clock. We got Babe Laufenberg at 8:40 here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers. Bobby Belt, our Cowboys insider, is next, along with another Cowboy ticket giveaway brought to you by AT&T. Seats in the 100 level with a parking pass at some point in time this hour to hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on. That is what Tolo stands for. All of that with the expressway on the way with Sean and RJ. All of that rhymed.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Our Cowboys ticket giveaway is coming up at any moment this hour. This is the Expressway uninterrupted radio until the end of the hour every single morning here on Sean and RJ. Our way of saying thank you guys for turning it on, leaving it on. Thank you, AT&T, for allowing us to hook up the Tolos with seats for Sunday in the 100 level. Ooh. With a parking pass. That's coming up this hour. Someone that will be there is our Cowboys insider, Bobby Bell, joining us on the Diamond Factory Hotline. Bobby, what do we need to be worried about with the Commanders?
Man, their skill position players are really, really good, actually. And if they had a consistent quarterback, if they had a competent quarterback there instead of Carson Wentz, they'd be trouble. I mean, they've had moments during this season where they've been able to put real pressure on defenses, and they'll be able to put a lot of pressure on the Cowboys because, you know, they've got Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel. These are all really shifty, really good open field players. The running backs are really good, especially catching the ball out of the backfield. JD McKissick, Antonio Gibson. I mean, honestly, even their tight end, Logan Thomas, he's good. If you offered me a trade and said, we'll trade you all of Washington's skill players for Dallas's skill players, I'd take the trade.
Whoa.
Like Washington's really talented with their skill players. It's just they can't block right now. As much as we've talked a lot, it seems like every week we talk about, man, the interior of this offensive line that the Cowboys are going against is pretty bad.
Yeah.
The Washington's terrible across the offensive line. Everybody's bad there. I mean, Sam Cosmi's been a little okay, but he's hurt right now. He'll play, but he's banged up, and they've been able to take advantage. Defense has been able to take advantage of a lot. I mean, Wentz was dropped 9 times against Philly on Sunday, and so they can't block. Carson Wentz is not consistent. It's the typical, you know, ups and downs we always see where it's like, wow, what a throw, and then it's like, wow, what a throw. Like, that's just consistently the way that he operates.
When did you make up your mind on Wentz? When did you sell all of your Wentz stock?
Oh, that's a good question. Because I like, even though the 2017 MVP season, or the season where he was like considered like this guy's gonna be the MVP before he got hurt, I still felt like it was a little smoke and mirrors like in 2017, and so I don't know. Probably sometime second half of 2018 is when I was like, all right, this dude's not it. And I mean, it's you watch the Jacksonville game back, the very first drive. I think it's the first pass he throws. And I believe it's Jahan Dotson gets wide open on the left sideline, and he just throws it over his head. And you see that a lot. He'll just throw the ball over somebody's head. He'll completely miss somebody. He'll bounce it at their feet, and it's just it's wildly inconsistent.
Is that all? Because did they overrate his talent? His talent's surely there, right? That's why he was drafted number two.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's got the talent. That's why you see in flashes that it looks really, really good at times. It's just he doesn't have consistency at all. And I don't know if that's a mental thing, if that's a mechanical thing, like what the issue would be. But, I mean, he's got a lot of really good natural talent. It's just it's not – you don't see it all the time. It flashes. And you know, that's the difference between, you know, a guy like Carson Wentz versus a guy like Josh Allen, who it was – wildly inconsistent in college, and then he got in here and was able to hone it, and now you see it regularly. Carson Wentz just was never able to make it click all at once.
Cowboys insider Bobby Belt here on 105.3 The Fan. What happened to this dream team defensive line that they drafted and put together?
Well, Chase Young is still on PUP, so the Cowboys are going to miss him. That obviously hurts because he's the piece for them. But, yeah, you know, they've spent first-round picks on Montez Sweat, Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, and it's not generating the type of pressure that you'd like to see given the fact that you've sunk four first-round picks into the defensive line. But, I mean, they're still really talented, and Jonathan Allen at times plays really, really well. Montez Sweat can generate pressure. They've got a really good linebacker, Jamin Davis, when they send him, when they ask him to rush the passer, he's had some success doing that this year. I was talking to somebody in Washington this week who was saying that, man, Jamin Davis was wasted for an entire year at middle linebacker. Like, they were trying to turn him into just a normal standard NFL Mike, and now they're realizing, no, like, he's a more versatile piece than that. We need to play him to his strengths a little bit. And, you know, so they're getting some pass rush from him. But, yeah, that front four should be better even without Montez Sweat. They should be generating more pressure than they are. And so I think that's definitely been a big disappointment for them because they're not getting the type of pressure that they'd like to see given how many resources that they've sunk into the defense. But, you know, they're still a talented group, and, I mean, they'll give Dallas all they can handle. Like I'd have some concerns about the running game in this one. Like I don't think you're going to see Dallas have – the type of efficiency in the running game that they've had in some other contests. And, like, Broadus and I were talking about this yesterday. I don't think Washington's the worst team in the division. Like, I think they're better than the Giants.
I agree.
Just watching the tape. And so, like they've gotten much more talented players. I think Daniel Jones is better than Carson Wentz right now just because of, like, I think he's more consistent. I think if you put Daniel Jones over there, you give the Giants offensive line over there, which the Giants offensive line isn't great. But I think if you were able to swap them, the Commanders would have a winning record right now.
Both sides talking yesterday. You sent us a ton of audio. Oh, what jumped out to you from the players?
The Michael Gallup thing is so interesting.
Yes,
because he says he's 100%, and everybody says he's 100%, and so he basically told them just mentally he wasn't ready to go out there, is what that sounds like. And I think that's fine if you don't have that comfort level. I don't want a player going out there if they don't feel comfortable in their, you know, body and that they're going to be all right. But there's going to reach a point there. If he doesn't go this Sunday, for instance, like, what's the guarantee that he's going to be mentally ready this Sunday? We don't know. And so if it reaches a point where he doesn't go again this Sunday and now we're past, like, the PUP window, I think there might reach a point where the Cowboys are like, all right, Michael, like, we understand, but you got to get out there. you need to play.
Well, they're not going to force him out there, though. Paid him. Do you really want to force him? Isn't that kind of short-sighted to pay him and then force him out there?
If the trainers have said for several weeks he's medically ready and he's not going out there over some mental hurdle, yeah, I think they would. Because, I mean, medically, he's cleared. He's clear now. They would have liked him to play. You guys heard. You guys played the cut. He said it was his decision.
Yeah.
He wanted to sit out. And you also heard him say that, you know, when they talked about the timeline, he said, this is kind of what I always envisioned. So I'm thinking it's probably just he had made up his mind that Washington is when he was going to come back. And so even though he got medically cleared earlier than that, I just don't think he was mentally prepared to come out there and take it. But he also said, like, look, some of it's about the padded practices. He felt he needed more of a ramp up that, you know, the other guys, they got the whole training camp and everything like that. He got two padded practices. And so I just think it's interesting. I don't want to doubt any reservations he has about playing. If he doesn't feel like he's there, then that's fine. But the problem is that it sounded like he said he was there. He said he had all of this. And so
he would have been better off definitely saying, I'm not good to go physically because then we're going to have a future Ben Simmons discussion around here.
Just say I'm 99% and I want to be 100 or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, just it was interesting to me that he was saying that he's totally fine and that it was totally his decision and that it was just more a mental hurdle. But I mean, kudos to him for being very direct with us on that too. So that was really interesting to me to hear that, because I wonder if there reaches a point. Calvin Watkins asked Mike McCarthy yesterday about that, about the how do you handle the training staff telling you this guy can go and the player being like, I don't know. And Mike McCarthy will always have deference to the players. That's one thing that he's lauded for across the league. Players love him for is that he is very deferential to what the player feels they need, and he's very deferential towards the player's health. He doesn't take years off a guy's careers the way that, you know, Rod Marinelli was always accused of. Rod would drive guys so hard in practice that, you know, the doctors would look at them later and go, you probably cost yourself about 2 years on the end of your career, you know, getting run as hard as you did in practice. And so it's, you know,
really?
Mike McCarthy, that's not him. He preserves guys' careers. He'll get credit for that consistently around the league. But, you know, just it's interesting to me. I wonder if he says he can't go this week, if Michael Gallup has the same thing happen this week, I wonder if week five against the Rams, they're saying, all right, we just need to get over this because you're ready. You're physically ready.
Yeah, the trucker.com text lines keeps up bringing up the MetLife turf. Like, why would he want to make
That's
that
fair.
Debut
yeah.
on the turf, right? Make it on grass.
Sure.
You know, which isn't here.
I mean, 18. Yeah, 18.
It's not here.
Not grass either,
but it may be better than the MetLife turf. I have no idea, you know, the quality of the turf at either place. But that is probably something that consider, like, you would want to make your debut on grass over turf, I would think.
Sure, but I mean, that's also why I think we were talking about him just running more vertical routes and running more like, you know, the deeper part of the route tree instead of the in-breaking stuff. You could have still, I think there was a compromise there that you wouldn't have had to have worried about the turf as much. I mean, he's out there running vertical routes during warm-ups, and so, you know, I think that, like you say, it's not going to be much, but you're coming back to AT&T Stadium, that's not grass either, and then you're going to the Rams after that, that's not grass either, and so, you know, there's going to reach a point where it's just, all right, buddy, it's go time. Like you know, let's pad up and do this.
Kevontae Turpin just being sent down the field as a deep threat is what do you think about that?
Really, really difficult to send. I mean, look, I know that, you know, we're in a modern era where 5'9" quarterbacks get taken number one overall, and that would have never happened in years past, but one area where it's still really difficult is you don't see small receivers like that win down the field. It's just, it's hard. And so, I mean, if he can run right by somebody and he's in the open field, sure. But, I mean, somebody as small as Kevontae Turpin, who's much smaller than even a guy like Tyreek Hill, that's really, really difficult to win on 50-50 balls. It makes things difficult. I mean, it's easier for the cornerback to get in position, pick a ball off. It's less 50-50 if that deep ball's covered. So that's the only reservation a lot of teams have about sending a guy like Kevontae Turpin down the field. That's why they try to get guys like that more, you know, on, you know, jet sweeps, get them on smoke routes, get them in the open field, and let them try and joystick their way.
Bobby Bell, Cowboys insider here on 105.3 The Fan. Anything else from the Commander side that stood out?
Man, they are not right now able to get Terry McLaurin going.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Terry McLaurin is—I personally think McLaurin's a better receiver right now than CeeDee Lamb, and not a dig at Lamb. I just think McLaurin's a really good player. McLaurin and Lamb have had the same start to their careers, basically. If you look at the first 2 years of their career, I think they had the exact same number of receptions and were like 10 yards within each other or something like that. And he's done it with just awful quarterback play. And so McLaurin's a really good player, and they've just not been able to get him the ball. And he's talked about this week that, you know, he's a leader in that locker room. He's not going to, you know, be a look-at-me guy or anything. But he's talked about, like, yeah, we probably need to get things going this week, and this is an important game, and you know, I need to be incorporated. It's not Kenny Golladay pitching a fit and then dropping a critical pass on third down. Like, I don't think you're going to have that problem with Terry McLaurin, but you know, just a sense that we got to start working me in a little bit more. We got to start taking advantage of some of the opportunities because I can get open. And I think McLaurin is as good as he is, man, Diggs has shown he can lock him up. Diggs locked him up really well two times last year. And so, you know, they provide a lot of pressure with those receiving threats. They're going to stress Jordan Lewis, Anthony Brown, Trayvon Diggs. They've got talent there. It's just a matter of right now Carson Wentz isn't able to get McLaurin the ball. And even guys like Curtis Samuel and Jahan Dotson who are touching the ball, sometimes they're having to touch the ball by, you know, a 40-inch vertical and getting it on their fingertips because Carson Wentz is sailing it.
You make up with Broadus yet? You guys good?
We're great. We hugged. It was good.
Bro hug or like a
when did you see
hug?
Him in person? Did you come up here in studio?
Yeah, I was here. I was here at the station. I was at the station yesterday.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I had to cover the Get Right. KG was doing Cowboys Crosstalk, so it was me and CA. But yeah, I saw Brian last night. We recorded two podcasts yesterday. We did one in the morning, then we did one at night. And Brian, I was like, sorry, I made you mad.
What was
yesterday.
The beef? Why? What happened?
It was over. It's because I said G-Bag Nation is the official show of like kicking Dak Prescott in the stomach. Uh-huh. And they all took issue with that. They didn't like that. And
poor thing.
Broadus said, this is your last show here, Bob. Last show here.
Oh, Broadus doing this, like, hiring and firing now
that.
Around here.
Yeah. But no, he like they get a little defensive when they get accused of their Dak hate. They get the Dak hate called out.
Isn't Dawson? I thought he wore that proudly.
No, Dawson pushes back against that. He says that. In fact, he was the first one to push back when I said it. He said, "I resent that remark."
Really?
And so, yeah, so they all like to say they're just realistic about it.
So I
guess they all like to say they're realistic. But honestly, when they're asking me like, hey, what about all these things Cooper Rush does better than Dak? I'm like, he doesn't do anything better than Dak. That kind of proves my point.
I'm gonna give you some names in the building.
And yeah, let's go.
You tell me if they're a Dak head or a Dak ass. All right?
Okay. All right.
Joey, get ready on the dump button in case he slips. Chiafalo.
Dak ass.
Zach.
Leans more Dak head.
Broadus.
Dak ass. Does not like Dak.
Corey.
Price is Right music?
Why are we playing Price is Right?
It's got to be a little game show, okay?
Okay.
Middle of the road. He. I'd say he's kind of.
I would lean anti a little bit.
Leans a little bit, but I think it's middle.
Bassick.
I don't know. What day is it? Depends.
Yeah, I know. How did Trevor Lawrence play the day before?
I mean, it's like it's the same as like Luke is the god, and then the next day Luke is a fat ass. So, I mean, I don't know. I can't keep up with Bassick's opinion from day to day.
No, I think he's a Dak ass.
I think he's kind
mostly,
of a hater, yeah.
More days than not.
Okay. Choppy.
Oh, Dak head. My brother.
Yeah.
And me.
Dak ass. For sure.
Bobby,
but
not dumb enough to want Cooper Rush to start.
No. Right. But all the Dak asses, you know, bend the knee at the throne of the Dak ass King Gavin Dawson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. You know, even the Dak heads like myself, I think we're still like, you know, reasonable enough to realize that he's not like this elite quarterback. He's not tremendous, but he's not elite.
He's tier two. He's not tier one.
Right.
Do you think anyone in the building advocates for Cooper Rush having this job long term?
I think that not yet. Nobody's doing it yet, but Broadus and Dawson are getting there.
Broadus is getting there?
Yes. Broadus has been trying to cut Dak since rookie minicamp in 2016.
I love that you have the guts to double down on this after Broadus got mad about it and you all made up and you're still. I love the guts.
I love it
because he's probably seething right now. He'd probably get ready to call the hotline.
No, Brian will tell you. Brian will tell you all this. And he told me yesterday. He was like, no, I wasn't mad. He's like, it was good spirited conversation. But, like, I mean, that's just the truth. Brian's been trying to get rid of Dak since rookie minicamp, but he was like, this guy can't play.
Okay.
But he can't throw. He can't practice.
You know what? That's the thing. That's the scout in him, right? Because Dak's not a great practice player. And that's what they look at most.
I mean, he's gotten better. But, yeah, he was pretty horrible early on.
Thank you, brother. Good stuff.
I love you all.
Bobby Belt, K Cowboys insider, not afraid, not buying a dog, does not have a canine on the Diamond Factory hotline. Speaking of that hotline, hit it, Joe.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. Tolo caller number 10 wins a pair of awesome tickets and a parking pass to see the Cowboys take on Washington Sunday at noon, 100 level, courtesy of AT&T 5G, fast, reliable, secure. AT&T 5G, fast, reliable, secure, keys to victory. And then look, you got to sit there and be the 10th caller right now at 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. RJ, give me one instant path to victory, key to victory for the Cowboys against the Commanders.
Make Carson Wentz throw.
Okay.
Make Carson Wentz beat you. His decision making is not great.
Yeah.
I saw a great text here on the Trucker.com text line in terms of quarterbacking, right? Forget talking about quarterback talent. It's not important. Decision making rules quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. That's why Brady and Manning and Breeze are the GOATs.
Yeah.
Yep. And yeah. You know what? Absolutely right. Alex Smith was the first overall pick in the draft, but nobody thinks he had, like, immense talent. I guess, well, you know what? He's a bad example. You know, Drew Brees is the best example. Undersized guy, not a top pick.
Tua.
He was a high
accuracy.
Yeah.
Anticipation.
Like, you know, Manning was a high pick, and it worked out. He had talent, and he had decision-making. But Brady, not a high pick. He has great decision-making. And what happened? He won 7 Super Bowls.
Right now, 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. Thank you guys for turning it on, leaving it on, and thanks to AT&T for the Cowboy Commanders ticket giveaway. We got Joe Theismann previewing the other side at 8 o'clock, Babe Laufenberg at 8:40. But we have some autograph controversy. Mike Trout, this story at 105throughthefan.com. Did you see this?
Yeah, a bit.
So Mike Trout is like appears to be walking out of the Angels team hotel right on the bus. You're going to hear these two little kids asking him to stop and sign. Not today, guys. Mr. Trout, can you sign? Not today, guys.
Not today, guys.
And he just walks by without hesitation onto the bus. And, of course, these types of things always get called out on the internet.
Yeah, they do. But there's more to this story, right?
You tell me.
This was a dad trying to use his kids to get autographs of Mike Trout.
Oh, really?
There was I an didn't adult. There was an adult there.
Okay.
Like, if you're an adult.
And they said that that's the dad?
That was the speculation from Barstool that was the dad.
But how would Trout know that?
Well, he wouldn't know that. He wouldn't know that.
So that can't absolve him.
Doesn't absolve Mike, but now it creates a different, like.
And I would use my kids for the same thing. You kidding me? The player's going to stop for the kid and sign more so than the adult.
Yeah, the adult should not be after a Mike Trout's autograph. Leave that for the kids. Leave that for the kids, man. The kids.
Look. I do have to point out, to be fair to Trout, reporters all chimed in on this. First off, you can't stop and sign for everybody. I was looking at the crowd size. I was like, was it just two kids there? If it's two kids there, can you stop and sign? But, you know, though, he had to get on the bus, and then a whole crowd starts coming over. Got places to be, you know, playoffs to miss. But Trout apparently does more than any player pregame in terms of pictures and autographs. He apparently is amazing with that. So I'm not going to blame Mike Trout for this. Just blow him by quickly. I mean, again, there's no line. You're never going to make everyone happy. There's always going to be one extra autograph or picture.
Yeah. Someone's always getting disappointed.
Yeah.
Someone's always going to get disappointed. They're always going to be the next one in line. Oh, if I only got there a little bit earlier. Oh, if you only waited around just a little bit longer for me. It stinks. It stinks that he couldn't sign it, but you're right. He can't sign every autograph.
Yeah. You get blown off by somebody? Bitter moment? Recently or in your past?
Not that I can remember. I've never really, like, been. I'm not outgoing enough to go, oh, can you sign my autograph for me? Oh, please. Oh, my God. Please sign my autograph, please. Oh, my God. Please sign my autograph for me. Please sign my autograph. I've never been like that.
I never cared about autographs. I want the picture.
Pictures are great. Pictures are great.
Picture you can hang up. You can show it.
Yep. Can't sell a picture? But that's okay. I'm not in it to sell it. You know, the memory is what matters. It's like, you know, with you know, they're talking about these baseballs, selling these baseballs, right? You know, the picture of getting to meet the guy if you give the ball back. Now, it's not worth the money, okay? I'm taking the money over meeting the person any day of the week. But as opposed to, like, an autographed baseball bat, I'd rather have the photo with him.
Yeah, if I'm not in the memorabilia world, I don't care.
Yeah, I'd rather have the photo.
So the Trout autograph story comes out, and then right after that, I see The Rock with this video. Somebody recorded this little girl. She's so nervous and excited, she forgets her name. This girl is waiting 2 hours to see The Rock. Apparently, no one's waiting to see Black Adam. Those are the initial movie reviews. But here is the video that someone captured of this girl at night finally getting to meet him.
I didn't get to ask you for a photo, and then I saw...
How long have you been waiting out here?
2 hours.
2 hours?
6:45.
What's your name?
Karis. Carol.
Yeah. Carol?
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I was doing so good. Oh my God. Is there any way, like, someone could take a picture of my phone?
We can do it.
That's awesome. I think she said... Joey, go to that part of it. I think she said my name's Karis. Her name's Carol. I think she said Karis. Hit it.
I was doing so good. Oh my God. Is there any way, like, someone could take a picture of my phone?
We can do it.
That was the end part.
2 hours.
2 hours.
6:45.
What's your name?
Karis. Carol.
Karis.
Who says Karis?
Oh, really? Do you play for the Pacers, Karis? Karis LeVert.
Karis LeVert. Oh, I didn't think you were going to pull like Karis out from anywhere.
I know. Me doing an NBA topic.
And then she's sitting there posing, and he's like, "You're shaking. Settle down.
Settle down.
Calm down. And then The Rock tweeted, "May sound silly. This kind of stuff will always be the best part of fame. Thanks for being awesome, Carol. Make sure you tell all your friends how mean, cold, and unkind Black Adam really is in person." And then he recorded a selfie video with her, having her name her school.
Yep.
And
she went to Karis Elementary.
You're now going to be the... Is that a local one?
No.
Oh, okay. So there's two autograph stories back to back.
But Carol is a local one.
Listen to Shaquille O'Neal. Oh, okay, so Shaq on his podcast was asked about the cheating controversies with Adam Levine and Ime Udoka. And I don't know how you can admit to be a cheater and be more liked.
But that's Shaq.
But somehow it worked with Shaquille O'Neal when asked about these viral Hollywood topics.
I am going to step down from this conversation. Let me tell you why. I was a serial cheater. It would be crazy and blasphemous for me to get up here and say, boom, boom, bam. I can't do that. I know these guys personally. I know they're going through a lot because I went through a lot. I just wish that, you know, certain parties weren't involved. Like, I've known Neil Long for a long time. I like her. I know Adam for a long time, and they're going through a lot of family stuff. But I'm never the guy that's going to get up here because of my platform and fake it. I did it. You know, I was the best at it. I'm not proud of it. I lost my family doing it.
Wow.
I lost a valuable, important years with my children from doing it. So I refuse to get up here. You shouldn't have did this. You shouldn't have did that. I'm not that guy. I'm real with the situation.
Who says that? I was the best at it.
I was the best at it. I was.
Are these guys alpha male competitors?
Something Trump would say.
Listen, it is. It is. Look at Joey coming in political here.
No, no. No, you don't. No, JoJo. No, JoJo.
I'm so good at it.
Never say that. Nobody's ever said that, but I am the best.
Joey, no, don't do that for your young career. That's a no-no. No. No politics.
He's not wrong, but he ain't wrong. I would definitely say something like that. I was the best.
But imagine
if you tell me all across the world when I see that they say, Trump, you're the best cheater ever. Nobody has ever cheated more than you.
Imagine competing like that. You think keeping them both in a hotel or a stadium is good? Watch this. So that was Shaq talking about not being a hypocrite, and then he talked a little bit more about how he lost his family.
No, it is not worth it. But let me tell you why. The happiest days of my life were coming home and hearing six different people say, "Daddy, Daddy, that happiest days of my life. Forget the money, forget the cars, even forget the championship," especially when they were little and 2 and 3 and didn't really care that I missed 10, 15 free throws. They wait up for me after games. And, "Daddy, can we go to Universal?" Those are the best days of my life. When I lost those, I'm not going to use the D word because I know a lot of people are suffering with that, but I was all the way down. And sometimes I'm still all the way down, especially when I was in my house in Orlando, which is 70,000 square feet, in there by myself.
Right.
Nobody. Like, I built a house for the kids, gym, game room, pool house, this and that, guest house for the mom and all that. When I lost that by being stupid, it killed me. So to answer your question, no, it's not worth it. I wish these two fellas the best. I wish they can come through, and I hope they do not lose their families over what was done. So again, I'm not going to sit here and say, and you know, call these people out because I did it. And Shaquille O'Neal is never want to be a hypocrite in real life situations. I'll always be a hypocrite in basketball because that's what I do.
I thought that was just
70,000 square feet.
I thought that was just amazing audio.
It was. It's fantastic. And you're right. I mean, he's the only one that can admit to that and then get more likable.
I know.
Well, I guess it does show, like, you know, if you just, like, you know, if you admit to a mistake, people are very forgiving.
Yes.
If you just admit to the mistake, they're very forgiving.
And how about that? You're sitting there in your 70,000 square feet house all alone.
All alone.
Arcade, basketball court, everything for the kids, and they're not with you.
Yeah, and everything you see is a memory. Yeah, that's got to... And you wonder how empty the house became. Like, furniture-wise, too. Like, how much did she take?
877-881-1053, truckwreck.com text line to hit us up here on Sean and RJ. We have Player of the Month awards. Jalen Hurts has won for the month of September. Devin White, Cowboys opponent week one, has won Defensive Player of the Month. And the 49ers punter, Mitch Wisnowski. Look at that hair. Look at that mullet. From Mitch.
Wow.
He wins NFC Special Teams Player of the Month. And the scariest stat out there for me, this is just me personally, Jalen Hurts in the pocket. It is not fun to see some of these numbers that are out there. Last year, and again, the name you don't want to hear in this discussion is Josh Allen with the leap. Last year, completion percentage. This is inside the pocket. Hurts was 65%. This year, he's 74%.
Wow.
Yards per attempt last year, 7.3. This year, 10.4. TD to interception ratio, 9-8. This year, 4-1. Total QBR last year, 45. This year, leads the NFL with a 91.
I'm sorry, a 91?
A 91 QBR. I mean, our biggest hope is that this has been done against scrubs and he's playing above his head right now. He's playing out of his mind. And that he took advantage of Washington, Detroit, and Minnesota.
Washington, Detroit, Minnesota. Detroit's defense is not very good. Washington's defense is not very good. And Minnesota's. I mean.
Minnesota wasn't even trying to cover.
No. Wait a second. It says 91 QBR.
That's what ESPN just had up. Total QBR, 2022, a 91. Inside the pocket, though.
Oh, inside the pocket. Oh, okay, there you go. All
inside
right.
The pocket.
All right. Yeah, because QBR, the QBR leader for the season is two at 82.8. And Hurts is fifth at 75. Still, tremendous. 75 QBR? 75 QBR is going to put you in the MVP discussion every year. So there's, boy, I'll tell you, there's some guys on this QBR list this year that haven't been up there before.
No.
Two was one. He hadn't been there before. Hurts is 5, Cooper Rush is 6, Jared Goff is 8, Brissett is 9, and Geno Smith's 10, and Mariota's 12. We haven't seen these guys up there. I mean, Goff maybe for a couple years in like 2017 and 18. Never Tua, never Hurts, never Rush, never Brissett or Geno. Wow.
And speaking of Tua, his head coach who... I'm in love with Mike McDaniels has Thursday night football this evening. It is the Dolphins and Cincinnati. And I had Joey go through this Andrew Hawkins audio. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. You know, didn't Jesse Holly beat him out?
Yes.
In fourth and long?
Yes. Andrew Hawkins sat down with Rich Eisen and just talked about the way Mike McDaniels totally changed the way he thought about the sport.
I'm a Mike McDaniel guy. I don't know if you know that about me.
Go for it.
So Mike McDaniel was my receiver coach in 2014. That was the year that I signed with Cleveland from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I was a slot. I came in there. I think Josh Gordon got suspended, and it was like, hey, man, I know we brought you in for third downs, and, you know, we paid you as such, but you're going to have to play the X, and you're going to be the 5'6" X receiver for us this year. Drafted Johnny Manziel, so you'll have that. And Mike McDaniel was the receiver coach. And I was like 28. I'm a student of the game. And I study, I watch film. I am very in it. Like, I had never heard anything to that point different about receiver play, because I unturned every stone. Mike McDaniel flipped everything that I knew about offensive football and receiver play on its head that year. And he was like, yo, I just need you to trust me, and you're going to have the best season you've ever had, and it's going to change how you think about football.
At the age of 28. Flipped wow. Hawkins' thinking on everything he knew about the position and offensive football. So we'll have more of that later in the final hour. Mike McDaniels, the young genius, the newest offensive guru taking over the league.
If he does not win the Coach of the Year, based off of right now, I'd be disappointed. Although, you know, obviously Sirianni's going to have a case to be made, and we'll see what Buffalo does if Sean McDermott gets a case to be made. But, man, I am in love with Mike McDaniel. I know you are too.
Speaking of quarterbacks and offense, he's our annual guest when the Cowboys and Commanders play. Joe Theismann, preview Sunday next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!